speak from Psalm 24. Will you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalm number 24? It's just 10 verses, and I'm going to read all 10 verses. And this is a Psalm of David. And this Psalm, David, the king of Israel, David, the man after God's own heart. And David in this Psalm clearly declares the true God. Oh, what a picture he paints of the true and living God. And then he pictures us, the true people of God, where they came from, who brought them, how they were brought. And then thirdly, he shows us the true Redeemer. He shows us the Lord Jesus Christ in a magnificent way, in his full glory. Let's look at it. Psalm 24. Will you follow in your Bibles? The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath never lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Now he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation, and this is the story of them that seek the Lord, that seek thy face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Now in verse 1 and 2, we see the true God. Here's the true God. In verse 3, 4, 5, and 6, we see the true Israel. In verse 7, 8, 9, and 10, the true Redeemer. All right, let's begin with verse 1. You follow along as I read and comment. Verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's. Now, men live on the earth, but the earth is the Lord's. Men live on the earth, and they divide it into countries. And they have their kings and their presidents. They have their monarchs and their parliaments. They have their congresses and senates. And they call the land their land. They have a flag. They say, this is our land. This is our homeland. And men divide the earth into states and territories, and they elect governors, and they elect leaders, and they fight over the boundaries. And then men divide the earth into farms and ranches and lots and estates, and they issue title deeds. People have a folded up blue deed, you know, there in the cupboard somewhere, there in the desk, and they say, this is my land. This land belonged to my father, and now this land belongs to me, and it'll belong to my son. Well, I've got news for you. David said, the earth is the Lord's. It does not belong to us at all. It belongs to the Lord. In Job 41:11, Almighty God said, whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. Now, you and I are but tenants. We live on these farms and on these ranches and on these lots and in these homes. We're but tenants, and we're subject to eviction at any moment. Did you know that? The great owner of all things sits in the heavens, and he laughs at the title deeds of the worms and the dust. The earth is the Lord's. It's the Lord's in its entirety. It's the Lord's in its wealth. It's the Lord's in its life. It's the Lord's in its past, in its present, and in its future. The earth is the Lord's. All right, look at the next line. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. What does that mean? Well, it means this. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. God made the earth full. And he made it fit for life before he ever put a man on this earth. It was full and fit for life. It had all the air he needed to breathe, all the food he needed to eat, all the water he needed to drink, everything he needed for survival, for any amount of people on the earth. God equipped it. God filled it. God completed it. And then he put man on it. And the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You see, the sea and the rivers and the lakes are full of water. Despite all the water that's used and all the water that rises to the sun and into the clouds, the sea, the lakes, and the rivers are still full. And they've been full for thousands of years. And the waters are full of fish, despite all the people that feed upon them. Think how many fish are caught every day, how many fish are eaten every hour all over the world, yet the sea stays full of fish. The air is full of oxygen, notwithstanding all the lungs that breathe it, all the animals and people that breathe the air is still full. After all these thousands of years, it's still full. And the soil is full, though billions of plants, and billions of trees and flowers and vegetables are growing. Think how many blades of grass and how many trees and flowers and weeds and vegetables draw their nourishment from the soil, from the earth. And all the thousands of years, but still full. It's still full. And the earth is full of minerals, though millions take from it all the time. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness. He keeps it full. He filled it and he keeps it full. And no matter how long it'll last, it won't depend on you. We're parasites. We live off of it. God keeps it full. It's his and the fullness thereof. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him were all things created in heaven and earth, under the earth. All things were created by him and for him, and by him all things are held together." All things are held together. All right, thirdly, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. This is the true God. I'm saying this, every creature, every person, all that dwell on this earth belong to the Lord. Belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. See, in John 1, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made." That's Christ. In Colossians 1, verse 16 through 18, where it says, "For by him were all things created, which are in heaven and earth, dominions and principalities and powers. All things were made for him, and by him. By him all things are held together, and he's the head of the church, the head of the body. He's the Lord Jesus Christ." That's who I'm talking about. These things are his. They're his by creation. He made them. And they're not only his by creation, but they're his by decree. When he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Father, thou hast given me authority over all flesh." When he sent his disciples out to preach, he said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and earth." So these things are his by decree, by creation, by decree. And then thirdly, they're his by purchase. He died that he might be Lord, both of the dead and the living. And they're his by administration. It says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the what? And the government shall be on his shoulders. The rule of all the universe shall be on his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." It's his not only by creation and by decree and by purchase, but all things are his. All things are his by administration. He controls it. He runs it. And all people are his. They're either his sons or his servants, but they're his. They're either his sheep or his goats, but they're his. They're either his vessels of mercy or his vessels of wrath, but they're his. This is the true God. You see, I'm not preaching an impotent God. I'm not preaching the powerless God that created everything and ran away. I'm not preaching a God that depends on the creature. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. I'm preaching the God to whom all things belong. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and all they that dwell therein. For, look at the next line, he founded it upon the seas. Here's the chief reason why the earth is the Lord's. He founded it. He created it. It was God who said, let there be light. It was God who said, let the dry land appear. It was God who said, let us make man in our own image. He founded it. He created it. He purposed it. He planned it. He hurled it into space. He separated the water from the land. He founded it upon the seas, the waters beneath and the waters above. One day he covered it with water. Can I not do with my own what I will? But he said, I won't do that again. The next time I'll destroy it by fire. You see, he founded it upon the seas. That's an unstable foundation. Yep, he's going to destroy it too. And then John on the Isle of Patmos in the book of Revelations, the Revelation said, in that day, the new creation, no more sea. No more sea. That new heaven and new earth is on the rock, Christ Jesus, immovable. Can you enter into the glory and majesty of the true God? Can you? I wish we could find out who God is so we could worship him. So that it would not be true of us what Paul said of the pagans, no fear of God before their eyes. So that we might be wise men, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So that we might be saved men, salvation, eternal life, to know God. Can you enter into the glory and majesty of the living God? He said in Psalm 50, verse 10, every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle upon a thousand hills are mine. I know all the birds of the mountains. I call the stars by name. The wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. This is the true God, the sovereign, almighty God of heaven and earth. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and all they that dwell therein, for he founded it upon the seas. Now here's the true Israel, the people of God. The question is posed, well, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? What are we talking about the hill? We're not talking about these little 5,000, 4,000, 3,000 foot mountains around here. We're talking about the hill of the Lord. We're talking about the high heaven. Paul said, I went to the third heaven. There's the heaven above this earth, and then there's the heaven above that, and then there's the throne of God. And that's what he's talking about here. Who's going to ascend into the heavens? The throne of God. The throne of his glory. The throne of his majesty. Who's going to ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who are the Lord's people? Who shall stand in his holy, holy, awesomely holy place? The question is not just who's going to mount up there and ascend up there to that awesome light, glory, and majesty, but who's going to abide there? Who's going to stand there? Who's going to dwell there? Who's going to dwell there? Well, the answer is fourfold. Look at the next verse. Who's going to ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who's going to abide in his presence, dwell in his presence, stand in that holy place? He that hath clean hands. Pure, perfectly holy hands. Never sinned. Never transgressed God's law in any way, thought, word, or deed. He that hath a pure heart, who has never had a thought contrary to perfect holiness or contrary to the will of God. He shall stand in his presence who has never lifted up his soul to vanity. That is, he has perfect love for God and God's will and God's way and has never thought contrary. His soul's never been in covetousness, pride, or lust in any way lifted up to anything except God. Who shall stand in his presence? He who hath never sworn deceitfully. In other words, perfect truth. There it is. There's the true Israel of God. There's the true people of God. That's who's going to inhabit heaven. That's who's going to stand, who's going to ascend into the hill of the Lord and stand in his holy place. God says that. That's his law. That's his requirements. But you say, preacher, that doesn't fit any human being on this earth. Fits one. Fits one. Fits one. The Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall ascend into heaven but he who came down from heaven? The Lord Jesus Christ. But he not only ascended into heaven, he sat down on the right hand of God. You see that? I told you, if you ever take a look at God, then you'll see yourself. If you take a look at his holiness, his majesty, his glory and greatness, then you come to this conclusion. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Who shall abide in his awesome presence? He that hath clean hands. He that hath a pure heart. He that hath never lifted his soul to vanity nor sworn deceitfully. And there's only one. And he shall receive the blessings from the Lord. And blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. That man's truly blessed. He shall receive the blessings of the Lord. Blessed is that man to whom God will not charge sin. And that's Christ. But that's not only Christ. Now listen to me. But that's the blessing and righteousness of all who are in Christ. Because Jesus Christ is a righteous representative. He is a representative of his people. You see, this man, Jesus Christ, this man who came to the earth, this God-man, he's not a private person. He's a federal head. He's a representative. You see, in Adam all die, in Christ we're made alive. In Adam, by the sin of Adam, we were made sinners. By the righteousness of Christ, we're made righteous and holy. Adam was a representative person. In Adam's loins was a whole human race. God never made but one man as Adam. One man. Everybody else came from Adam. We're the seed of Adam. And the first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. And that's the new people. That's the new race. That's the mediatorial kingdom. Jesus Christ came into this world as the second Adam, the Lord from heaven. And there's a people in his loins. There's a people given to him. There's a people whom he represents by his obedience and by his righteousness and by his love and by his grace. You see, Jesus Christ, the man, was perfectly righteous before God. He had clean hands. In him was no sin. He had a pure heart. Even the Father said, I'm well pleased. He never lifted up his soul to vanity. He said, thy will be done. And he is the truth. Jesus Christ answered to the full character laid down by God for those who would ascend into the hill of the Lord and those who would dwell in his holy presence. He laid down the... Jesus Christ fulfilled everything God laid down. Everything. You see, I told our congregation, the throne of God is threefold. There's the throne of his glory. And I want nothing, I know nothing of that. I don't know much about that. There's the throne of his justice. And I don't want any dealings with his justice. But there's the throne of his grace in Christ. Christ our Savior. Christ our mediator. Christ our representative. Christ our intercessor. Christ enthroned. I want something to do with that. I want to be represented by him. And that question is posed, that who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who's going to stand in his holy place? He that's in Christ. For Christ is that man who has clean hands, a pure heart, whose soul is holy, whose word is true. Now, notice the last. It describes him here. The true Redeemer. And the voice says in verse 7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Now, what gates do you suppose David's thinking about here? The gates of that city. The gates of the new heaven, the new Jerusalem. The doors into the very presence of God. Those doors and those gates had been bowed down and closed to all who would enter in. No one has ever entered in. Lucifer tried. He said, I'll be like God. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'll go through the gate. I'll go through the door. But the door never opened for him. Christ said, I saw him fall from heaven like lightning. Adam said, I'll be like God. But the doors, instead, he was cast out of the garden. And God put a gate and wouldn't even let him back in the Garden of Eden. The builders of the Tower of Babel, they said, we'll build a tower up there. We'll enter in. But the gates didn't open for them. Cain said, I'll do it by works of the flesh. The Pharisee says, we'll walk in the gates of glory in our robes of religion. But our Lord said, depart from me, I never knew you. And those doors, those everlasting doors, those gates have remained shut. They remain shut because nobody's approached those doors or gates with clean hands and a pure heart and a holy soul and a word of truth. But wait, doors. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Here comes one. He'll enter in. He's the King of glory. And the voice comes back and says, who is this King of glory? Who would enter the doors and the gates of God and the hill of the Lord and stand in his place? Well, I'll tell you who he is. He's the Lord, strong and mighty. He's able. He's able to do all that he promised. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. He's able to keep us from falling. He's able to raise our vile bodies. And he's able to make us like his God. He's able. He's the Lord, strong and mighty. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord, strong in battle. The seed of woman who bruised the serpent's head. He said, Satan came to me and found nothing in me. He came to you and to me and he found plenty, didn't he? The accuser of the brethren. He can find plenty right now, too. But he came to Christ and found nothing. He found clean hands and a pure heart and a holy soul and a word of truth. He's the Lord, strong in battle. And he conquered. And on that cross of Calvary, he said, it's finished. It's finished. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord. Now listen, he's the Lord of hosts. What does that mean? He's not coming alone. Christ is not coming alone. Our Lord Jesus Christ ascended back where he was before. He came down to this earth to perform a task and to do a work and fulfill a mission. And he said, it's finished. And then the voice cried, lift up ye heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye sleepy doors, with bowed heads, almost rusty from having never been opened to any creature. Now open up and open wide, because the King of glory, the Lord strong in battle, the Lord mighty indeed, the Lord of hosts is coming in, and he's not coming alone. Alone, he's bringing with him a number which no man can number. They're in him, they're with him, they're of him. And they're coming in too. Because he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The King of glory. Lift up ye heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up ye everlasting doors. The King of glory is coming in. The Lord of hosts. With a number as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore, a number which no man can number, he's entering in. Do you see that? Oh, to learn these things, oh, to be taught these things. Who is the Lord God? Who is the Lord God? May he be pleased to reveal himself to us in his majesty, in His glory and in His holiness and in His grace. Who are the people of God? They're the people in Christ, represented by Christ. All that God requires fulfilled in Christ. And who are those who will be received into His presence? Those who go into glory in Him and with Him.